Our second case this morning is 2021-1158, the State of Ohio versus Tyler A. Morris, also known as Tyler Mullins. For the appellant, Mr. Smith.
Good morning. Chief Justice O'Connor, justices, and counsel, may it please the court. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. The question before this court is whether a court that sentences a defendant to life in prison for an offense committed when the defendant was a juvenile violates Article 1, Section 9 of the Ohio Constitution and the 8th and 14th Amendments to the United States Constitution when the trial court fails to consider the defendant's youth as a factor in sentencing. The answer is yes.
Well, I mean, we know that from the United States Supreme Court that the answer to the U.S. Constitution is not yes, right? I mean, it just told us that.
Well, Your Honor,
the Supremacy Clause, under the Supremacy Clause, is what the federal court says goes, right?
Not quite, Your Honor. We would submit that the decision in Jones versus Mississippi does not overrule this court's decision in State versus Patrick.
How can that be? I mean, how can a federal decision not about what the U.S. Constitution means not be binding on this court?
It is binding. However, we would submit that the holding in Jones is narrower than the state has argued in this case, and that the Ohio
pretty clear if you read the decision that it's inconsistent with our previous precedent, right? I mean,
it's not, Your Honor, and here's why. Because Jones said that the court cannot be required to make a specific factual finding. In this particular case, it was a finding of permanent incorrigibility, mm-hmm. and that was the term of art that was used under Mississippi law. It doesn't apply here because, one, first of all, that term doesn't even appear in Ohio law, and second of all, this court's decision in Patrick never required a specific factual finding.
But Patrick was under, over here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Patrick was under the federal constitution, correct? It wasn't based on the state constitution.
It would be based on both the state and federal, I believe.
I thought it relied upon the federal courts and the Eighth Amendment under the federal constitution.
We would submit that it's not inconsistent with Jones under either the state or federal constitution because that holding in Jones was narrower than what this court required under Patrick.
I was asking under Patrick. Patrick was based, though, on the Eighth Amendment to the federal constitution, correct?
Yes, at least in part, yes.
Well, where in that case does it say it was based on the state constitution?
I believe it was an Eighth Amendment issue, and I believe it was we would submit that it would also touch on the Article 1, Section 9 of the Ohio Constitution as well.
Why?
Because the issue of juvenile sentencing and considering a defendant's youth would fall under cruel and unusual punishment, which is enumerated in both the state and federal constitution.
But the wording of Patrick, though, is based upon the federal constitution,
yes.
Amendment 8.
Yes, but we would submit there's also a state constitutional right that applies as well.
And where in Patrick is that written?
I believe it was paragraph 42, but I'd have to double-check the record, Your Honor. But Patrick doesn't require a specific factual finding. It only requires that a trial court separately consider you.
Right, and Jones says, and I'll just quote this. It says, an on-record sentencing explanation, quote, is not necessary to ensure that a sentencer considers defendant use, is not required by or consistent with Miller, is not required by or consistent with this court's analogous death penalty precedents, and is not dictated by any consistent historical or contemporary sentencing practice in the states. That pretty much just devastates your argument, doesn't it? I mean,
it doesn't, Your Honor, because...
Because the court didn't mean what it said? I mean, the court said that you're not required to say anything.
However, the court in Jones did say that states can require, make
under their own constitutions, they can't, the court, states can't impose federal requirements under the federal constitution that are contrary to what the United States Supreme Court said.
Well, they can't, it doesn't have, it's not contrary, it's the
court. Well, no, it is contrary. The court said the United States Constitution does not require this. Does not require what you're asking us to impose.
It does require that the court consider youth because
right,
it
says at a hearing where youth is raised, we assume the court considered it, which is the exact opposite of what the majority here said in Patrick.
Well, it requires that the, yes, well, no, I, we would submit it doesn't overrule this court's hearing in Patrick because, first of all, the holding is narrower, and because the,
How is the holding narrower?
I'm sorry?
How is the holding narrower?
It's narrower because it applied to the specific finding of permanent incorrigibility. This court has never required it.
But that doesn't make it narrower because what the court says, you don't have to consider it at all. You don't have to talk about it at all. You don't have to make any finding, period. That's what the Supreme Court said.
Under the federal constitution, their holding was that no finding is needed. However, it also didn't outlaw a state requirement to make a finding. There's nothing in the decision that says states can't do this on their own.
Sure, the state could pass a law, the legislature could pass a law, the state's allowed to do that.
Yes, and
or a state constitution could say that, but we've never interpreted the Ohio Constitution to say that.
And well, we would submit that this court has final say over the Ohio Constitution, and we would submit that even if assuming for the sake of argument that Jones v. Mississippi limits what this court can require under the federal constitution. Obviously, the U.S. Supreme Court's the final arbiter of the federal constitution. This court is the arbiter of the state constitution, and this court can keep a requirement in place that's not only consistent with Patrick, but consistent with Jones.
Was that Ohio constitution argument raised below?
That was the argument that was submitted. I believe that was submitted before the Fifth District, and it was submitted as part of our proposition of law in this appeal.
Did you argue that in the Court of Appeals? I think you may have mentioned the Ohio Constitution. There was no argument raised about the Ohio Constitution, was there?
Yes, we did raise the Ohio Constitution. However, the oral argument that we had in this case, the Fifth District didn't really distinguish between the Ohio and the federal constitution. And I think part of that was because the defendant's co-defendant was in a very similar case. His case was reversed and remanded for resentencing based on this court's holding in Patrick. Then Jones versus Mississippi comes out 6 days after the decision in the co-defendant's case, then the decision comes out from the Fifth District in this case on August 2nd of 2021. So Jones came out in between the co-defendant's case and the case here. The Fifth District said Jones versus Mississippi changes the entire equation here. There's no requirement to make any kind of finding, and therefore they overrule the assignment of error. However, it was raised at the Fifth District level that there was a state and a federal constitutional argument. Did the Fifth District make a great deal of distinction between the two?
I think part of the reason was you didn't make any distinction between the two in the briefs. You mentioned the Ohio Constitution, but you didn't make any argument under it. You just there's nothing based on the text, history, tradition of the Ohio Constitution. There wasn't anything for the Court of Appeals to consider under the Ohio Constitution because you didn't make any arguments.
Well, we did raise the Ohio Constitution.
You mentioned it.
Yes, we did, and keep in mind too that Jones versus Mississippi came out after I believe it came out after the oral argument in this case. So it was, this was the decision that came out later. The decision was issued, I believe, April 26th of 2021, and then the opinion in this case from the 5th District came out August 2nd of 2021. So it was I believe, after the oral argument had taken place. So there was the record is going to be silent as to any discussion, because at that point there's been no decision from the U.S. Supreme Court. And so really it's left to this court to consider whether how Jones versus Mississippi applies to not only Patrick, but to the Fifth District's decision in this case. And we would submit that it is not inconsistent for this court to find that there's a state constitutional right that perhaps goes a little bit further, that goes further than the federal constitutional
right. Do you have anything based on the history, tradition, the language that would support that argument, or you just kind of want us to say that because it would help?
Well, it's because,
typically when we hear arguments about what the Ohio Constitution means, you go back and say, well, here's the debate, here's how it was understood at the time, here's a contemporary understanding. Do you have any of that?
Well, Your Honors, with respect to the 1851 Constitution, there was some mention of that brought up, because I know the Ohio Attorney General in their brief argued that there is nothing in the debate notes, nothing in the state constitutional notes that supported any kind of extending this, I guess, requirement to a trial court as far as treating juveniles differently with sentencing. However,
are they wrong about that?
Yes, because it goes back to the principle of proportionality, and this is something that's deeply rooted in the common law, which is included
in Ohio. There was a constitutional amendment on proportionality, and it got left out of the 1851 Constitution. So that seems to cut the other way.
We would submit that it doesn't, Your Honor, and that's because the reasons are not clear. There's nothing in the debate notes. There's no record from the Constitution, the 1851 Constitutional Convention, as to why the proportionality amendment was left out. It could have been that the delegates to the convention simply found it to be surplusage, that it wasn't needed, because that proportionality principle was already rooted in Article 1, Section 9. And in fact, we would submit that's the most likely interpretation here. That
counsel, is there any word difference, text difference?
The words are the same, I believe.
The words are almost exactly the same.
The words are exactly the same, Your Honor. I believe the federal constitution uses commas and the Ohio constitution
doesn't.
Uses semicolons.
Right.
That was the only difference I could find.
So if there's no textual difference, why should we find a difference?
Because of not only the nature of the holding in Jones, but of this court's because of this court's holding in Patrick, and because that proportionality principle and the rights still apply the same under the Ohio Constitution. This court has not only the ability, but the onus to find that there's this consideration that needs to be made for juveniles in sentencing.
Counsel, you're into your rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'll reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hoffman.
Chief Justice and members of the court, I would like to reserve 5 minutes for the Attorney General's office. The procedural posture of this case is such that the sentencing court did not have Patrick was not decided at the time the trial court sentenced the defendant. While it was pending appeal is when both the Patrick came out, as well as Jones versus Mississippi. The state would contend in any event that the trial court did in fact consider youth at sentencing Mr. Morris. It considered on the record both defense counsel as well as The state made reference an argument about his age, and it would have been a death case, but for the fact he was not 18 yet. It also considered a 90-page PSI report, as well as two letters from Mr. Mullen's juvenile probation officers, one of which, authored by Ms. Dyer, the second paragraph of it refers to the juvenile's brain development and not being...
So how do you know the judge considered it? Are you just presuming the judge did because it was submitted into evidence?
No, he actually mentioned it on the record during sentencing, and he explained why he did not give it as much weight as, you know, perhaps the defendant would have hoped. The trial court did, in fact, consider it. The trial court was the same judge that also did the warrant to convey Mr. Mullins from the Richland County Detention Center to the Ashland County Sheriff's Jail.
Didn't the U.S. Supreme Court make the obvious point that when an attorney mentions something about youth at sentencing, of course the judge considers it?
Yes. When Ohio has a discretionary sentencing structure, and in Jones, the Supreme Court said that because of the, once a court has discretion to consider youth, then it necessarily considers it as part of its decision. Trial courts are also presumed to follow the law and to act in accordance with it, absent evidence otherwise. And here there was no evidence otherwise, but evidence the other way insofar as considering Mr. Mullen's youth when it sentenced him.
There were other considerations besides his youth.
Yes, the letters as well as the PSI report that the trial court mentioned on the record that it considered and then discussed portions of it included his IQ, included his educational history, included his family history. It included his juvenile record, and how actually this, crime came about. The planning that went involved. So the trial court, even though Patrick wasn't decided at the time the trial court sentenced Mr. Mullins, it definitely considered all that this court would have, hoped that it would have considered in Patrick. In light of Jones versus Mississippi, it would appear that Justice Kennedy's dissent in Patrick would now be the prevailing,
So you're saying Patrick's overruled by Jones?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's all you had to say.
Yes. I believe that's where we are today. Sending this back for, resentencing. I believe even in the appellant's brief that he concedes that there's no magic words to use. As long as the trial court does substantively what it is charged to do, and here there was no evidence whatsoever that the trial court did not do that. With respect to the Ohio Constitution, it was not really an argument that was developed either before the Court of Appeals or before this court. It was mentioned in tandem with the Eighth Amendment to the United States Constitution. It's because they're in lockstep, as this court already has noted. The language is exactly the same, but for some commas and semicolons, and that's the only difference. So there is no, the import of that is that the analysis would presumably be the same. If there's something further, I'll... Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel, we're going to let the Attorney General say a few words.
Thank you. Madam Chief Justice, may it please the Court. Nothing in Morris's presentation today overcomes the fact that his argument has always been based on the Eighth Amendment and federal case law with barely a nod to the Ohio Constitution tag-along claim. Morris has waived any argument under the Ohio Constitution. Patrick treated Ohio's identically worded constitutional provision in lockstep with the Eighth Amendment, and Patrick's analysis was based on the Eighth Amendment cases. And Morris has given you no reason to diverge from the Miller Eighth Amendment analysis on which this court relied in Patrick, and therefore no basis to proceed on an Ohio rule. As Your Honor has suggested, when somebody seeks to make a separate Ohio constitutional argument, they should rely on the specifics of that provision, the history and the tradition. That was not done here. That was not done in the briefing here. Citing the Ohio Constitution several times in passing doesn't make the kind of argument that this court has required for a separate Ohio constitutional holding. And so on that basis, we would say not only has he waived any Ohio constitutional argument, as this court has already explored to this point, that Jones has effectively overruled Patrick in its specific requirement. Mr. Morris has not explained what any possible difference could be. He says there's a difference between what is in what Jones says is not required and what this court in Patrick said was required.
Well,
but
is,
he hasn't
is
really
maybe
told
the
us
difference
that.
Jones is incorrigibility, permanent incorrigibility, which is not necessarily the same as youth?
Well, I think when you look at the second part of Jones, when it talks about, and we also don't need to have an explanation on the record that implicitly finds permanent incorrigibility, they were getting at the same thing. Basically, some kind of discussion on the record of the youth and why this youth should get, in that case, a life without parole.
But incorrigibility isn't necessarily a youth. I mean, an adult can be incorrigible.
I suppose that's true, Your
Honor. It doesn't necessarily link to youth.
But the argument in the case had to do with the specific conditions of youth that the Miller case pertained to. And the argument in Jones was, even if there's not a requirement of a permanent finding of incorrigibility, as Montgomery versus Louisiana had said, there at least has to be some kind of discussion on the record. And the court said, no, there doesn't. It's just a matter of if it's been presented, it's been considered, and in that case, as a matter of the Eighth Amendment, they said that was sufficient. But let me go on to say, too, in terms of the Ohio Constitution, the concern about having a separate rule under the Ohio Constitution is constitutionalizing a procedural rule that if there is a down the road anybody wants to change it, it's very hard to do when it's a matter of the Constitution. And it's not like a statute or a court rule that's promulgated where you can put certain requirements on the trial courts, but it can be tweaked later if it's determined that it isn't working.
So, Counselor, are you saying that you don't think that courts procedurally should have their directives in a constitutional amendment? It should be more statutory?
Yes, I mean, that's what Jones, the last part of Jones, adverts to when it's talking about states, of course, are free to implement this as they choose, but they weren't talking about changing a constitutional interpretation to do something different. And particularly here in Ohio, where we have an identically worded constitutional provision, and the appellant has given you no reason to diverge from that. Up to this point, the analysis has been in lockstep with the Eighth Amendment and the Ohio Constitution, given the identical wording, and perhaps also the fact that an early version of the Constitution had a different proportionality provision that's no longer there. So now to all of a sudden diverge and take a left turn, he's asking you to take a left turn, but he's not really telling you why you would do that or what the path is to get there in his brief. He's just cited the Ohio Constitution, and that is not enough to preserve a claim. And for all of these reasons, we would ask the court to affirm the judgment below. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel, you've saved a minute and a half.
Thank you, Your Honors. It was in paragraphs 2 and 19 of Patrick that this court did address The state constitution was mentioned. The court did grant review based on both. Whether the analysis was based on the Eighth Amendment or the state constitution, of course, there may be an issue of interpretation as to that. We would submit, however, that there was a state and a federal constitutional review there. The court has, there has been the proportionality principle has been recognized as part of Article 1, Section 9 by this court in In Re CP from 2012 and State versus Chafin from 1972. As far as the findings by the trial court, it made the findings under 29, 29, 11, and 12. However, it did not include a separate finding as to youth in its entry, and it does speak through its entry. So there may be been some discussion on the record as to the facts of the case. However, we would submit that there was not a sufficient consideration of youth. The trial court mainly focused on the aspects of the crime itself in considering a sentence in this case, rather than focusing on the fact that the defendant was 17 years old at the time the crime was at the time of the offense. Patrick is not overruled by Jones. There's an independent state ground, and also the because of the Jones even says states can impose an additional requirement, and it doesn't overrule Miller versus Alabama. We would submit that there is room for this court to continue to have a requirement that juveniles receive some sort of special different consideration by the trial court which is consistent with the goals of the juvenile justice system. I see my time has expired. We would ask this court reverse remand. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision. Marshall, we call a recess.
All rise.